The Extra Life video game marathon is coming on October 20th. Extra Life is just like a run or a walk or a bike event, except you never have to get off the couch. Sign up at extra-life.org. Then get friends and family members to give you money to play. On October 20th at 8 a.m., play any games you want on any system for 24 hours. Find out more and sign up. extra-life.org. Play games. Heal kids. Extra Life. This message made possible by Children's Miracle Network Hospitals and this podcast.
You are listening to Rift Overcast.
Welcome to Rift Overcast. My name is Matt, and with me as always is Joe.
Hey.
Also joining us tonight from U.S. Guild, No Quarter, I almost said No Remorse, I don't know why. We have Khan. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing, man?
And Merkel.
Hey, how's it going?
So we're going to get to an interview with these guys later on. For now, they're going to join us in some discussion about some of the 1.10 stuff coming up. We're going to talk about Dimensions, which got revealed at Gamescom 2012. But first, let's go over the announcements. The poll, of course, we asked, as we were talking about it last episode, how do you feel about the removal of the gear treadmill in Rift PvP? And the options were, I enjoy having PvP gear progression, it's fine the way it is, I'm completely indifferent about it, prefer it removed, but doesn't matter if it stays, and it needs to be gone forever. This is one of actually the most, the highest participation that we've gotten for a poll. And the majority of people were either completely indifferent, there were 14 votes for being indifferent, 7 said that they prefer it removed, but it doesn't matter if it stays, and 17 out of 46 said it needs to be gone forever. 1 said that it's fine the way it is, and 7 said that they enjoy having PvP gear progression. So only 8 people actually voted to keep it. Are you surprised? Were any of you surprised by this?
No, I'm not surprised whatsoever, to be honest with you. I actually didn't think it was going to be that drastic in that direction. I expected to get rid of it forever to wind up being in the top in the lead with all the choices, but it's a pretty drastic landslide. I definitely didn't anticipate that.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked myself.
I thought that there was more people that wanted it gone. I really thought that the community was a little bit, and granted, this is only 46 votes, so, you know, out of 200, 250,000 subscribers, it's obviously, you know, extremely small portion of it, but still, out of the people that listened and decided to vote on this, 46 votes, way more than half, just want it gone. I really thought that it was going to be closer to, like, divided right down the middle, honestly. So, PvP normalization test, the testing for what that poll was all about, round 2 started yesterday. This is on the PTS, and they made several changes. Based on the community feedback, both item procs and PvE synergy crystals have been disabled, so PvP synergy crystals should still be functional right now, which I'm not really sure how do you think that's going to work? I mean, I don't know if I want to see those kept, honestly, because these changes are being made for Storm Legion if they go through, and that kind of makes me wonder if they're going to have new synergy crystals in the Storm Legion, but that would require getting gear, so.
They probably make, like, specific PvP's type items, specific procs or something of the sort.
But then doesn't that have the same exact effect that current PvP gear has, where if you don't have the crystal or don't have the gear currently, you're behind and therefore kind of gimped?
Exactly. I was just going to say that. It doesn't make any sense at all to do something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? Like, it sounds like that they're actually thinking about having a bonus in Storm Legion, because this change is not going to stay on live.
Well, I expect them to do these things kind of in stages. I'm not surprised they did this. I wouldn't be surprised if they do another test, and the next one is what we were just discussing, where it's like PvP crystals are disabled. Also, I kind of think they're covering all their bases and doing step-by-step tests and seeing all of them go and seeing all the feedback comes back, and then they'll, you know, base everything off that.
I think they should just let people roll on PvP, and whoever comes out on top comes out on top. It is what it is, man.
You know, the whole normalization thing was, I think, an interesting step for them. At first, I just thought it was really retarded, and then kind of after thinking about it, you know, I'm just kind of looking over stuff, like, they've done a lot of balancing stuff in this game towards PvP, and, like, I think a lot of the fixes for these souls just haven't been done because of PvP. And I think if they nominalize things and kind of work that out in the right way, they might be able to fix a lot of these souls. and just make the game a little bit smoother overall for a lot of things. So it may be a good thing, it may be bad, who knows, depending on what they do with it.
Whatever they do, I just think they, you know, if you're going to normalize it, the whole point is to make everyone equivalent. So the PvP synergy crystals are kind of, you know, to leave that in is stupid. Though, I don't anticipate that to stay that way. If it does, that's kind of retarded, because, well, it might not be to the same extent where now gear puts you at such an advantage. It will have some advantage, which therefore, you know, is counterproductive.
Yeah, I think you go to, you go one way or the other. You either normalize it completely and, you know, equalize the field, or just let people play like how it is now.
Right. You can't like go halfway. You have to go like all to one side or the other one. You have to pick a direction and just stick with it. Which also brings up the, you don't have anything here in the show on the show, because Joe actually wrote this portion about the planar attunement. Was there any posts about planar attunement and how that's going to affect the normalization changes?
No, I think that's going to, well, at least in this stage, it's staying.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another thing that I anticipate. That's why I think they're going to keep doing like step-by-step type thing where they'll eventually like eliminate each thing. Though, you know, it also is based on feedback, though I don't anticipate the majority ever saying they want planar attunement in the normalization. That'd be kind of stupid, to be honest.
Well, you know, like we said in, I think it was the last episode, planar attunement is almost a bigger grind, I think, an even longer grind. I mean, it's a little bit more attainable in the sense that you don't have to rely on wins and losses and such. You can do five-man's experts, you can do instant adventure and whatever, but it's still a really long grind. So it's one of those bonuses that I don't really feel like should be applied to normalization. But something that I didn't mention last episode was that we were speculating about the possibility of having some kind of like PvP only tree, maybe something similar to like a PvP soul, but not a soul. Obviously, we don't want that soul slot back, but something like maybe the Attunement of War, and you can put points into Attunement of War based on your PvP rank, which if that's the only planar attunement tree that you calculate in, I think that would be okay. I think those are small enough passives, and even some of the actives are small enough that it wouldn't be horribly critical if you didn't have those.
Yeah, I like that. A little bit of a reward, something to work for, you know?
Yeah, because they have to put something in the game that's some sort of progression if you're going to remove the gear, you know? You can't, I mean, as much as fun will, you know, playing it because it's fun will definitely carry a lot of momentum behind it. Eventually, you're going to be like, I'm not really gaining anything out of this, so there has to be some sort of reward out of all of it.
Tryon does know that, though, and I think it was Elrar actually posted. It was either Elrar or Daglar that posted and said that they are absolutely not removing progression from PvP. They're definitely not removing any of the progression on live right now, because this change is not going to be, it's not going to hit the servers at all until Storm Legion. But even when it does hit the servers on Storm Legion, they're looking at alternative forms of progression that won't, you know, give one player so much favor for time invested as opposed to how good they actually are at playing their class. So we'll see something for it. The question is what are we going to get, you know?
Chat's talking about right now, I just wanted to do it with that, because it was a hotfix today that changed Conquest. Apparently they removed like half the extractors, so now it's a glorified Warfront. I haven't obviously seen that since I haven't been online today.
Good. Jesus. 3-hour Conquests just suck.
Well, I mean, me and Matt talk about it all the time. Like, if you're going to make Conquest, you kind of have to either, like, make it a Warfront or make it, like, RVR. I hated how they were making it, like, in between, which is what made it so terrible.
Well, I mean, first of all, Joe, we were doing really good, okay? We had something like 4 episodes straight that we didn't bring up Conquest. You had to go and do that. Trying to avoid this. I'm not going to talk about this a lot, but let me just say, hasn't Conquest always been a glorified Warfront? Isn't that really what it is?
Yeah, they just made it, but now it's like a codex, though. Like,
I won't even log into there. It's boring, dude. It's super boring.
It needs to be like, I don't know, like, it needs to have a time cap put on it, because, like, when you're in there for 3 hours just running around, it, I don't know, yeah, it's glorified PvE, as someone was saying, or Zizix. I'd like to see more, like, actually RVR, you know, type things go in there and, like, actually force players to PvP and not just run around capturing objectives. Like, it should be, the objectives should be important, but it shouldn't be, like, the primary focus of the entire thing.
That's what I wanted when they initially announced 3-faction PvP. I wanted an RVR of sort, and they kept, like, you know, tweaking it and making it more and more like a Warfront the more they patched it, and now it's, like, officially a Warfront.
That's really odd. But for the sake of leaving Conquest behind with the 5 or 6 episodes in a row that we talked about it, I'm gonna go ahead and move on.
I'm not tired of talking about it. No, just kidding.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right. I'll believe that. So on the subject of normalization, back to the normalization topics, this is something else I wanted to bring up too, was the normalization of stats could really be a hindrance to a lot of classes too, is something that me and Joe were talking about and Joe put here in the show notes that I agree with, because some classes, more specifically some souls specifically, rely on certain stats more than others, such as, you know, for example, like a warrior really needing to crit to proc their heal debuff and to proc their frenzied strike or whatever, you know what I mean? So you can't normalize everything too much, because you could end up really, really, you know, hindering one specific class. And I thought about this for a little bit, and I thought, what if there were weapon preferences? How would you guys feel about, like, weapon preferences for certain souls? So, like, if you are a warrior and you want to have your build be more crit-oriented, then you can use a two-handed sword. If you want to be more attack power oriented, you can use a two-handed axe.
I actually had no problem with that. The only problem I probably have with that is you're going to have to basically get a drop and to have to, like, farm specifically one type of weapon. That'd be kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, if it's normalized, you could just bring in a green garbage level 50 two-handed weapon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is true. Like, that's definitely true.
I mean, if that's the case, unless it needs to be, you know, the damage needs to be such and such, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. As long as it's straight nominalized, you can bring in green two-handers or whatever it is and just swap out.
Well, I mean, that's better. Like, last week we suggested that all the trees that suffer from this, like, handicap, if you normalize on certain stats, that we can give them, like, passive boost to those stats. But the problem is that's going to directly affect PvE as well.
Well, they kind of tried to get away from, like, crit-based. I know with clerics, at least, they try to get away from crit-based type things with the serendipity nerf. You know, they've done it in the past, so I don't see why they wouldn't do it in the future necessarily. I don't know if it's a good thing. I'd like to see, that idea with weapons is actually not a bad idea, because it gives players a little bit of flexibility on how they want to play their build. They can even weapon swap if they need to do more, you know, damage, like just straight damage, or switch to, like, a two-hander to get more crit or something.
Yeah, right, if they ever introduced wardrobe, it wouldn't be, you know, a big deal.
That's something that we talked about on the last episode, too, was that there needs to be something that can set apart one 51.10.5 saboteur from the other 51.10.5 saboteur, aside from just being better. Like, you need to have a little bit of flexibility with your build. And so we got to talking about kind of how Guild Wars 2 is doing this, because Guild Wars 2 is kind of the big name in leading this whole stat normalization, no more gear treadmill bandwagon that's everybody's talking about right now. And I don't know, I don't think that Rift should really do that. I think that competition-wise and marketing-wise, it could be a bad thing for Rift to do, like, the same exact thing that Guild Wars does, but simply basing your stats off of what weapon you have equipped could be a very easy way to do it. That would also maybe take a little bit less thought to go through. So if you're not really good at theory crafting, or you don't want to do a lot of math, you just want to get in there and kill people, you can just figure out which weapon is better for your build and then go to it. The other thing that I was thinking with the weapons too is that I believe they've already actually come out and said that your weapon DPS is based off of what kind of weapon you are currently using for the current build of normalization, which means that the coding and everything they would need to for the normalization system to recognize the weapon you're holding, that's already there. You know, the framework is already laid out for it.
What do you mean by weapon type? You mean like a mace or sword, or do you mean like epic, green, you know, etc.?
No, I mean weapon type, like mace, sword, hammer, whatever.
Why would that dictate DPS, though?
Well, because they have to normalize weapon DPS, because if you're using dual-wielding daggers, you're not going to have the same weapon DPS as if you had an axe.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I thought you meant more along lines like a two-handed mace would have different DPS than a two-handed axe. I was confused by that.
Well, no, but it could. You know, maybe it could, because maybe they could make it so that a hammer has, like, super high spell power or super high, you know, enhances your endurance by a certain amount or something, but also has, like, the highest DPS, and whereas the axe might have a little bit less, but has more crit kind of thing. But then everybody that's using an axe has the same stats, and everybody that's using a sword has the same stats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Mind you, if they do that, they better make it all viable, too. I mean, you can't, just like I was, when we were talking earlier, they can't have one, like, two-handed axe is just straight out the best PvP soul or PvP setup. I mean, you have to make two-handed, or the one-handed daggers viable, too. You're going to have the same problem. People are just going to be running around with the same setup.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's going to be across the board in Storm Legion, you know. Not just with that, but any spec. Like, if they make the other specs more competitive isn't good enough. If it's 200 DPS behind, you're not playing it.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the new world event that just hit the PTS, Autumn Harvest. And Joe, you put this here, you put a link. I don't know how much reading you did on it, but the show notes say, another forest-themed event. Ugh, lots of Realm of the Fae, even more. Ugh. So what's wrong, Joe?
It looks like another half-assed event, just like 1.9's event, quite frankly.
But they had mounts in this. They had mounts in this one, at least.
Oh, boy.
Dude, they have five of them.
Who cares? First of all, are you talking about the ones that look like, well, they look like they're supposed to be translucent, but because this game can't do translucent models, they look like silver.
Can't do translucent models yet.
Okay, good point. But is that what you're referring to?
Yes. The spectral mounts.
Those aren't separate mounts. It says in the thread, those mounts just didn't render.
Wait, what? They didn't render? They're not actually spectral?
They're not actually spectral. Someone in the thread actually found out, they said they're pretty sure there's not actually spectral mounts. They just haven't rendered on that guy's screen yet.
Oh, there goes my wood, dude.
So they're not new. My heart's completely broken. I didn't want them anyways. But it was
first
cool.
of all of them are old mounts that even if they were mounts, they took old mounts like the Raptor, whatever, and just made it spectral. That's not exactly exciting.
It is to collectors. What if you're one of those people that likes to collect all the mounts? I mean, how many people are collecting some of these dumb... Some of the pets, some of the companion pets look really cool. Some of them look really dumb. Like that cockatrice thing that you get out of, the Caduceus Rise or Massimo Caduceus Rise. I hate that thing. But people still collect them. It's the same way with mounts, dude. Something to collect. Some people really enjoy that.
I have an exciting idea. How about these people who collect their pets and their mounts? They have a little spot and they can line up and they can duel their mounts like it's Pokemon. They can duel their pets.
Wait, they're doing that in WoW, dude. So I'm thinking of
Mysterious Area. And Tryon can sell them, almost like those magic cards or whatever the hell they are. Make a little extra dough.
I was thinking that all those people that do that can have their own server where they can just do they can trade the mounts and the pets back and forth and be by themselves because I don't want them on my server.
Yeah, Fate Blight maybe.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So what is this? Do you know what this Rota is, this Realm of the Autumn Harvest then? Is this take place inside Realm of the Fae?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the questions taking place inside Realm of the Fae, which is the worst instance in the game, which is why I wrote Ugg.
You know, we did a poll asking people what their favorite instance was in Rift, and for the record, Joe, Realm of the Fae won.
And for the record, 98% of the population of the world is stupid.
you see, guys, this is what I'm talking about. I'm telling these guys before the show that Joe makes it a challenge to kind of to keep this show PG. This is what I'm talking about, Joe. This is the shit you put me through.
I don't ever go to NC-17, okay? I stay at R.
What else we have? A boat. I'm on a boat. I wish I had a sound sample for this. I'm on a boat. You know that one song?
Yeah.
Is that a terrible rap song, I think? Who
Andy
sings that?
It's a spoof. A
couple
it's
of white
Sandberg.
Guys.
It's yeah. Andy Samberg and that awful fucking auto-tune rapper.
Oh, the black guy?
Why can't I think of his name? Holy shit. He always wears that dumb top hat, and yeah. It sounds exactly the same because he just blasts auto-tune in all the songs.
It sounds like every black rapper out there, to be honest, but...
There we go, T-Pain. Thank you, chat room.
T-Pain. Okay, well, T-Pain's got a boat in Rift, apparently. It's shown up on the PTS, and this is... Where's this? It's on the coast of Freemarch. Do we know exactly where this is? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And yeah, now there's a new... there's a new... Like, you discover a new area now, even though it's technically that area was already there. You just see the boat, and it says... There's a safe haven, which made people believe that Silverwood and Freemarch might become safe havens from PvP in the future.
Might not be a bad idea. I mean, I think a lot of people that really like World PvP are going to flock to the PvP servers because you're not going to see it anymore, really, on the PvE servers once they blur that line on the factions and everybody can group together with everything. And that could make the PvP servers potentially extremely overpopulated. It really could.
I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about there's two right now, and one is pretty populated. So, I mean, it's not even close to Greybriar, Fae Blight, or, all these ridiculous people. It's pretty populated, though. And then there's, Byreal, which is a ghost town, so.
Well, Elrar is in chat and says that the boat might have something to do with Storm Legion. So.
It's probably something similar to the crystals that they use for Ember Isle. It's probably a boat that takes you to the new island.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's what everyone was suggesting, that it either brings you to Port Tempest or Breven and Duskan.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Although, I mean, I don't know. Elrar, what the hell? He's teasing us in chat, right? He might have something to do with Storm, but we're talking about a boat. I don't even know what to say about this. I'm happy to get on a boat. You know what I wonder? I wonder if they're going to have a, there was a, this is some really wild speculation here, but there was a screenshot or a picture that got posted by Tryon, and I don't remember if I saw it on Twitter or if it was on the Facebook, but they had they were doing like voiceover work or something. They had a scene, one of the, what's the black box called there where you slam it shut and call scene?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
with the chalk, you write the scene number on it, you write the scene name, and the actors, and
a clapboard. Someone's saying.
Yeah. They were holding up a clapboard. There were a bunch of people in the back and stuff, and people were thinking, oh, maybe it's voiceover work for End of Nations or voiceover work for Defiance. And it could be, but what if it's voiceover work for a cinematic? False prophets, see? Okay, thank you, Elrar. So it said false prophets on the clapboard. I wonder, maybe it's the cinematic. There are like no cinematics in Rift other than the intro one. And I remember when World of Warcraft during Wrath of the Lich King did their little cutscene thing when they introduced the whole phasing aspect and everything. And people really liked that, where you do a quest and you got a cutscene for it, whether it be like a machinima or a full-blown cinematic. And considering how epic this expansion is going to be and the lore and everything, how epic everything's getting, plus we're getting closer to eradicating all the dragons, I mean, the scale of the expansion is huge. It would be cool if you could take a boat over and, like, you know, obviously it's going to have to go through a load, but during that load, you get some really cool, like, cinematic that shows you, you know, the story and shows you, like, traveling on a boat over to Duskin or Bravain or something.
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. It'd be pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I like where you're going with it.
I mean, if they did do that, maybe, you know, see how the community reacts to that, see how they like the idea of in-game cinematics like that. Maybe we could even see, if we're right on this, maybe we'll see even more. Maybe there's going to be more during Instant Adventures or just your standard story quest thing over on the new continents, too. So they made some more quality of life changes for 1.10. There's going to be new icons above all the NPCs to help people find their way better, which for me is an absolute godsend. And I think it's going to be a godsend for a lot of other players too, because there's no way to search for NPCs on your world map right now.
Yep.
There's no way to, you can only track vendors. You can't track, you know, the water vendor. You can't track the age specifically. You just have to track vendors in general, which can make it really difficult because there are a lot of NPCs scattered all over the place, especially like Meridian, you know?
Oh,
Meridian's huge. They're all over the place.
Well, apparently on the PTS, Meridian as well got quality of life changes, or convenience changes, as you say, where a lot of NPCs got moved around. I'd actually like to see, like, screenshots of this. So I know exactly what they did, but apparently in general, it's you know, it makes your travel time within the city more efficient, like, overall.
So you have here that Meridian vendors and crafting trainers, among other things, have been moved around for better navigation and more efficient travel times. So what's this about?
I just said that.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Well, that's the problem.
I was reading.
See, Matt has to keep me to PG rating, and I have to keep him, like, on course.
Of course you have to keep me on course. You wrote the notes. I told you before the episode started, Joe. I was like, you should just take over. You should do this. I don't know what I'm reading here. I'm reading your stuff.
That's your problem.
So I'm trying to keep up with you.
Joey needs his foam helmet before we go live, dude. Come on.
Yeah, I knew I forgot something. So something else that they're also adding, by the way, speaking of the icons, is they're adding new marks, which I don't know how much we needed them, but these are going to be some image marks. They have a skull. They have a support flag, a purple support flag. They have a green cross for, like, healing. They have, I think, there's a shield in there. There's a smiley face. There's a do not attack, you know, the circle with the slash.
I really want that, to be honest. I told you a while ago that I liked how, what was it, WoW only had symbols, and then what was it, Ion only had numbers, just like Rift did, and no game has ever done both, which I really think games should have both.
Do you know if we're going to have both? Are they getting rid of the numbers and replacing them with these new ones, or are they adding the new ones?
God, I hope not. Like, people have a hard enough time dealing with numbers, it seems like. Like, symbols are just going to confuse people.
Yeah, I think that they should keep them, you know, even if you got rid of, like, some numbers, like 7 and 8 or something, that'd be fine as long as you keep, like, 1 through 4, and then they add the symbols, I'd be fine with that. Just removing numbers entirely, though, that'd be pretty counterproductive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think so, because, I mean, you remember, Joe, when we played WoW, because WoW uses pure, they don't have numbers at all. They use purely the image, the picture marks for marking targets. And every time we transferred servers, different servers marked people differently. And then,
yeah.
And then you have cross-server LFG, so you get in with, like, one guy that might use, like, the star as the first attack target instead of the skull, and everything goes to shit. So hopefully they keep the numbers out. I hope Elrar is still in chat. Maybe Elrar can tell us if they're keeping the numbers or not. If he does, then I'll bring it up again and I'll mention it. But one of the really interesting things I find about this is that these are going to be usable in PvP. So I wonder if you're going to be able to mark multiple people with the same mark.
I doubt it. That would be kind of... You can't do that now, so why would they, you know... change
that. That'd be nice, though, marking healers and stuff like that. Talk
exactly.
To marking DPS.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's one of the biggest issues with Warfronts right now is if you're not queuing with, you know, four or five of your friends or whatever, you know, you're not queuing in a small pre-made, then there's, like, no organization, you know, and there's always the issue of zoning in, and somebody's got to give everybody raid assistance or pass leader, or somebody doesn't mark or whatever. Nobody knows where the healers are because there's nothing to mark a class, so you can't target somebody. You know what they are right off the bat. If you've been playing this game for a long time, then you can identify a class and a spec usually fairly quickly, but there's still that delay. You can't, you know, you have to click through and try and find them. You can't just look out into the field and see them. So the marks are really important. And if they have image marks and you could mark, you know, put a green plus above three players' heads in a Warfront, it could do a lot for you know, public Warfront organization.
Oh, big time.
Someone's saying in chat, too, that raid assist should be default for everybody in Warfronts, which is really what it should be.
Well, then that you have retards people... just... Yeah, but then you have too many retards just screwing around with the marks.
I was about to say the exact same thing, so high five, Con.
Yeah, but how is that any different from having one retard that doesn't do anything?
I prefer one retard not doing anything than some jackass just marking random targets.
I was about to say, one retard is better than eight.
Yeah.
How many times have you guys zoned into a Warfront and just wondered why that, you know, 14,000 hit point warrior who's obviously like 51 VK or Warlord or something is marked with a 1?
That's the first guy I'm going for, that's for sure. I just think that people... Yeah, there is just some retards that go in there, but you can't really avoid that. But it, like I said, if you have too many idiots marking, then you're going to have that problem anyway.
Well, LRR, if you're still here, dude, let us use those marks multiple times. Come on, please just do it. Just let us pick out the healers and the tanks and PvP. It would do so much for us. That would make me so happy if we could do that. If not, at least we still have one. But let's get to what I think everybody's really here for and talk about No Quarter. So whichever one of you want to take this... how did No Quarter get started? Like, how did the guild originally form up?
The guild originally started with me and Steinbrenner back in EQ. We played WoW together as well, and then we came here pretty much just me and him. A couple of guys from WoW came over, but they didn't last, and that was pretty much it. We recruited Merkel was one of the original members. We have Roshan Bubbles, original members, and that's about it from the beginning of the game, and that's pretty much it. I've known Stein since I was a kid.
Oh, also, you guys have replaced a lot. Has that been like a consistent thing? Like, do you see like a high turnaround rate there? Or
yeah, we actually have on farms like a going thread. We call it an alumni thread, and we basically have every raider that we've ever had in our guild and like a giant list. I think we're at like 180. No, I think it's like 150. But
150.
I mean, when we started in Greenscale and ROS, I mean, we're just recruiting people just to find people just to even raid. Like, we went into, like, Greenscale the first time with, like, maybe, like, 5 competent people, and we're carrying 15 retards through.
Oh, real gems.
Yeah, some real gems. And we pretty much filtered out a lot of people, and then we had a huge turnover rate with HK. I think a lot of guilds really did, especially once we got to Achilleos, just... beating your face against Achilleos and watching people die, the same people die to waves over and over again, I think just kind of disheartened a lot of people. We haven't lost as many people in ID. More of the people
we've
we lost
quite a
is...
few.
We had not as much as HK, though.
No.
We had a huge amount in HK. Like, a lot of the people that quit are just like, they more just took a break, and a lot of them we've talked to, and they've been playing other games with us.
Yeah, well, I think anybody who was raiding back in, you know, what was it, July, like July through November of last year knows what trying to find a guild and trying to raid HK in a guild really felt like back then. It was unbelievable the amount of drop off that happened during HK. So I think everybody had a really high turnaround rate for back then.
We almost fell apart back then. Yeah. We were down to about 9 or 10 people, and we sat there and we were like, well, did we just pack it in or what are we gonna do here? And we actually got Pain. Yeah, we merged, but Pain came over and kind of saved the guild, to be honest.
Yeah, we had a hard time even during ROS. Like, we just recruited just really en masse again, and then once we went into HK, it was just kind of painful being there, and then we picked up the Pain guys, and it smoothed out a lot. You know, we were able to get rid of a lot of these just bad players and just kind of actually get something done.
Well, that brings me to my next question. What is it like, if you had to describe to somebody who wasn't in the guild, maybe even somebody who might be considering joining you guys for Storm Legion or something, what is it like to be in No Quarter? Like, do you haze your new recruits? Or...
We haze everybody.
Yeah,
like,
pretend you're Jewish.
The hazing,
and I'm Hitler, that's about as close as we can get for new recruits. I don't like new people at all. Yeah,
whoa,
pretty much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just, you know, we don't want people coming in here screwing around. We want to take care of what we got to take care of and move on.
Like, it's, I mean, we have, like, outside of Raid, we have a pretty lighthearted attitude about things. I mean, we joke on each other all the time. We clown. I mean, even in Raids, we kind of joke around stuff. Like, I've killed Rough Raptors, like, I don't know, 4 times this week. Going to Lathus on those ads because he gets all butthurt that I silence the ads and then he dies. He's like, who's silencing everything? He starts screaming and mumble, and it's kind of funny. We'll just kind of laugh at it.
Doesn't everyone laugh at Rough Raptors? Just saying.
It's like the old misdirect thing, Joe, that used to do to me back in World of Warcraft. I remember Joe was asking me, actually, in when he first started playing the Ranger, and he found that divert rage that redirects the threat to your pet, and he asked me if you could redirect to a player, and I said, no, why? And it was because he wanted to redirect to me. So then he discovered that the Saboteur had a redirect, and I think that's his primary reason for wanting to play Sab now.
I don't blame him. It's coming handy a lot of times for myself. My rogue.
I killed so many people in World of Warcraft. It was amazing.
Yeah, oh, I did that on Mentor all the time, too.
This is insane.
But yeah, like, the hazing doesn't really... I mean, we joke around. Even the officers, we joke with each other and just talk shit all day. But, like, when we get in the raid, it's more of, like, an intensity to things. Like, we... Like, new people, we really like to throw them into the fire. We just get rid of the frying pan altogether and just throw them in the fire and just see what they can do. Like, I think the first day I joined the guild, I just hit 50. Khan's like, hey, we're going to go do CC. I'm like, what's CC? He's like, you'll see. And he basically made me go in there and heal it by myself as a fresh 50 back when, you know, a lot of these dungeons when these dungeons were really hard. And that's pretty much the mentality that we kind of throw everybody in. Like, because when you're in a progression environment, you don't know what's really going to happen. So if you just, like a lot of these new people, we just throw them into fights and we don't really tell them how we do things and we just kind of expect them to kind of figure it out because that's really how progression rating is going to be. Is people kind of having to think on their feet and really kind of adapt to changes that are going on in the environment. So we really just try to, when we get new people, to see what they can do. And, you know, the ones that hack it, you know, we keep. The ones that don't, we don't keep them for very long. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, that's what progression rating really is, especially when you're rating at the competitive level that you guys are, you know, where you're doing a lot of this content before the rest of the, you know, the masses really gets to do it. And, you know, you don't have the advantage of being able to go and watch a kill video or look up a spec. You're in there and you don't know what's going to happen. You have to go through the wipes, not just because you're learning the fight, but because you don't even know what happens in the fight yet.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, you know, you're learning, you get to, you know, 25% or whatever and something else happens. You want to be prepared, make sure people don't choke like you know, you're having some of these bad guilds.
Yeah, we've had a couple other raid guilds on the show in the past here. And talk a little bit about the PTS and stuff. You guys feel like you get a lot of good information from the PTS, or does things really change as much as it sounds like they do?
I think a lot of guys in the guild coming in to Hyde in particular did a lot of work on the PTS, especially the rogues, the warriors, just their specs getting ready. They spent a lot of time. So I think it's pretty beneficial.
Well, we harped on these guys a lot too to get on the PTS, and like we set up guild groups to kind of on the dummies and ran like an actual parses and stuff to kind of look through people's parses to see what they're doing to make sure that they're doing things right. It's kind of something we haven't really done in a while. It might be something that we might need to go back to. It's definitely, we also did kind of shut one of our officers up. He was always like, oh, Maximation was doing this. We're just like, you know what? So we put this raid together, we went and parsed it, and we made him shut up, because we basically did the same or better numbers than they were. And it really was kind of a thing, like, it kind of let people kind of flex their EP in a little bit, kind of could see the weak links and kind of work with some of the people. But, like, really at this point for us, like, if people aren't able to do their job at this point, if they're not keeping up with the theory crafting, then they really shouldn't be in this guild at this late in the game. Like, Storm Legion would be a little different, because obviously we're getting a whole bunch of fun new stuff, and I'm sure there are a lot of changes going on, so we're all going to have to theorycraft and kind of relearn things and see what works best in a raid environment.
So where did you guys first break into the raid scene? Like both you and where did a lot of your recruits come from? Because you guys must talk about this. Are people coming from, you know, EverQuest days and they just haven't played an MMO in between, or is it World of Warcraft or what?
I think the majority is probably World of Warcraft. There's probably a handful of us that played EQ.
I think, like, most of our leadership, myself, ShareCon and Steinbrenner all came from the EQ days of raiding. Like I think all three of us have pretty much raided since EQ launch. So we've been raiding for what, 12, 13 years, each of us respectively. So I mean, we have a lot of raid experience just in our leadership, and we have a few members that are come from the EQ days, like more later in the EQ days. Some EQ2 and early World of Warcraft was where the bulk of our members are from. And then, like, I think we have a few Wrath babies. There's a few also that are, like, this is their first MMO. This is the first time they've really raided an MMO. So, I mean, we have a pretty diverse group, I think. But I think World of Warcraft would be the standard
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. So, what would you, or what do you say? Maybe some of your recruits have told you. What lures players to actually join No Quarter outside of your progression status? Or is it just your progression status and that just happens to be what they're looking for?
I think that's part of it. Part of it is definitely a progression status for some people, and I think people that play with us, you know, I think like playing with us generally.
Yeah.
And they want to come over and play with us.
We're kind of one of those, like, a love or hate guild. Like, there's no, like, I think, middle ground with us. Like, you either love our guild or you hate our guild. Like, and most of the people that hate our guild obviously probably aren't here anymore. And there's actually, I think, a discussion that came up in the forums this week about when we parsed or streamed last week, and people were criticizing how we are in raid, like, because we are jerks, but we do it to keep people focused and keep people, you know, paying attention to what they're doing and wake people up. And I think it's maybe the mentality that we have as a guild, the intensity that we try to bring to raids, and just the, you know, the kind of carefree attitude we have with pretty much anything outside of raid. Kind of we just let people alone for the most part and let them do what they want outside of raids. I think that's kind of one of those that kind of keeps people coming over, because we don't really care what people do. Like, outside of raid, like, as long as they show up for raid, you know, they can do what they want. And then, also, we have, like, a lot of people that play, like, other games outside of Rift. And we have a big group that, you know, play Diablo 3, and we have a big group that's going to play Guild Wars 2 and stuff like that. But playing as a guild is, like, kind of the big thing that we're trying to push with people, to kind of be tight as a guild and kind of have that camaraderie there, even if we're not playing Rift, you know, something else, you know, we're playing with the guild.
So what about your raid schedule? Because I've heard that you guys can sometimes do 12 or 14-hour raid days, and you just alternate people as they need to log.
Yeah, our first raid was 14 hours.
Wow, yeah.
And Greendale.
Here's an example. We went into Greenscale, we killed the first boss, we get to the second boss, and we raided 14 hours because we weren't leaving until it was dead. I mean, it's that simple. If there's something that I think that we can kill, we're not leaving until it's dead. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you work. If you have to go to work, then you can go to work. You're not going to sleep. That's just retarded to me. But, then we went to, like, Hylas, and this, you know, just to prove a point, I want to see who wanted to be here. We had 16 people on. We went to Hylas for 8 hours. No chance of killing Hylas.
Wow.
So we raided.
Did you have to rotate a lot of people around for that, or did everybody stick around for, like, the whole time?
We had a lot of people back then. For, like, ID, we had... I mean, we didn't push it as hard as we did then, but we had a lot of long raid sessions. I think the whole gating system is really what I think maybe saved us or...
It saved our lives.
Yeah,
saved our lives.
Because I think we would have been in there from, like, till we killed Melforge. Like, people wouldn't have, like, gone to work.
Yeah,
like,
people were pawn for ID, really.
Yeah. And we raid, you know, we raid till it's dead. If it's doable, we'll raid. You know, obviously we know, like, there's going to be a burnout point, and if people really kind of get to the point where they're just being, you know, we're not making any progression, we kind of hit that bell curve, you know, the end of the bell curve where just people aren't, you know, focused anymore, we'll either, like, try and rotate people out, or we'll just, you know, call it for the night and kind of pick it up again. But, I mean, like, an 8-hour, 10-hour raid isn't uncommon for us.
People don't want to rotate you out either. You think they want to leave, but when you're that far in, that committed, people really don't want to leave. So usually you only rotate a couple of people out that absolutely have to leave. Most people want to stick it out.
I believe it. I felt that way back in World of Warcraft. Because that was the last time that I really raided, like, really hardcore with the kind of intensity that you guys bring to your raids. And, you know, I didn't put this in the show notes, but I want to kind of broadside you with this a little bit. Because do you think that maybe the Rift community, or maybe just the raiding community in general, has just changed their mentality where things aren't that intense? Because I remember when Joe and I raided in World of Warcraft, almost every guild that raided was that intense back then.
I think that before EQ was, I think WoW started to change it over. EQ, I remember raiding for 16 hours. You better get a bottle, because if you have to piss, you're not moving.
Yep. No, exactly.
So,
like, I think it's just, like, you also got to think, like, a lot of these guys that come from, like, the EQ days, I mean, that's 13 years ago. I mean, like, a lot of people, like, I mean, I was a 13-year-old kid, you know. So I had this free time to kind of raid like that, where now, you know, you have, like, jobs and stuff, and people are kind of working, and they don't really want to raid for huge amount of hours anymore. You know, they have kids, too. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that have kind of changed the thing. You know, people have grown up in the MMO community, and I think that the less time they can spend raiding and more time doing other stuff kind of has changed that. But really, like, our guild's mentality is, like, we raid really hard at the beginning of, like, of a dungeon drop, and then, like, now we're clearing ID in a night, and we have the rest of the week to do whatever we want. So where you see a lot of these other, like, intermediate guilds or even low-end guilds that, you know, they're raiding consistently for 4 to 5 nights a week for, like, 3 or 4 hours, where we're raiding one night a week now. So basically we front load everything, get everything done, and then everybody can go back to doing whatever they want to do outside of game.
We have loot loggers right now, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
So you feel like, you know, your time invested, basically, it's kind of like squishing all your time together. So instead of doing 4 hours a night for 4 or 5 nights a week, the entire time, you just get it all done and over with, and then you can go about your business later.
Yeah, yeah. It makes it easier if you got a girlfriend or something. Instead of playing 5 days a week, you're playing 2 days a week or whatever it is. Dude, I mean, during progression, it's obviously going to be different. We try to give people a break. We'll go 7, 10, 15 days straight. We'll try to give people a break as much as we can. It just... We front load everything, like you said, and just spend the time early on, get it done with, so later on you're not spending that kind of time.
So you guys mentioned your Maleforge kill. Tell us a little bit about that, because there was a lot of controversy that came up about it. So what actually happened?
As far as people,
as far
cheating?
As the yeah, what is the deal with the exploits?
So, yeah, the deal with the exploits is, for people who don't know what it is, it's you could stack power stones or whetstones. You could stack them as many times as you want. You could stack your trinkets, you could stack your sigils, the graders in your sigils. You could stack anything that you could put on any items consumed. You could run at 100% speed if you wanted to.
Yeah.
It's pretty much just how it works.
Like any of, like, 4-hour consumables or any item that had a proc to it, or enchant, that kind of thing, you were able to stack. And we basically found out about that bug right after we started Lathys.
Probably 5 weeks before we killed Maleforge.
Yeah, we picked it up from another guild, and we had another member that came in and kind of showed us how to do it. And we basically kind of theory-crafted, because before, like, they just said you could only stack, like, 2 power stones or something, and we figured out that you could stack unlimited amount of power
20
stones.
20 power stones.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, I think I set up one night just for shits and giggles just to see what I could do for 6 hours and stacking power stones, and I think I was able to get to like 8 or 9K spell power
so
as a cleric.
You reported this to Tryon then, right?
Yes, we did.
It took them a little while
to fix it.
They knew well before we reported it. But the day that we found out about it, we had 2 people report it, and pretty much that was that, and then we're not babysitters. If people did it, they did it. Didn't condone it.
Yeah.
You don't always know. There's people that were, I'm not going to name any names, that were bad in the guild, couldn't pull the same DPS as, say, you know, one of our top mages. But he was up there, but we didn't know that until all of a sudden these exploits fixed, and now he's pulling half that DPS.
Yeah. And, you know, you can't really tell if a person's stacking like one power stone, because pretty much as soon as we found out about it, it spread through our guild like wildfire. Like, everybody knew about it, like, the day we found out about it, and like once we figured it out how to do it, it just everybody knew how to do it, and it like people were trying to figure out how they go about doing it, and like we're kind of like told people, hey, don't use it, but what are you gonna do if you catch somebody do it? Are you gonna kick out half your raid core? Like, I mean, it's not really feasible.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because it obviously I'm sure that you guys want to move past this. I think a lot of the Rush community probably already has moved past this. But there was a lot of controversy that surrounded all of it, and there was a lot of, kind of head-to-head and stuff that went on. And because you guys are coming on the show, and you guys sound great. It sounds like you've got a really good guild going. I think it sounds awesome that you guys have the kind of camaraderie that you have within your guild. And it would just be, it would be terrible, I think, if people straight up judged you for using this. I mean, because it wasn't the entire guild, right, that did this.
No, it was a small number of people. There's some people that maybe did a little bit here or there. There's some people that didn't do it at all. There's some people that really abused it.
We had people quit because we had like I said, 3 or 4 people quit because of the bug. Because we went through, we didn't test, we did as well as we were doing an ID, and then this bug comes out and you have people screwing around with it, and some people are just like, that just takes the fun out of the game for me. Because people enjoy the challenge.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And there's a lot of things that kind of went around too. It's like, well, if we're just finding out about this and like these other top guilds, because we got it from one of the top guilds that was out there that we got a player from, and you know, if they know about it, then all these other guilds must know something about it or something or another. So they kind of like, it kind of disheartened some people because they're like, well, you know, if all these, you know, it's possible that all these guilds are using it and basically trying to get ahead where we had no idea about it for the bulk of this. And I think it kind of just, they felt like the game was just completely broken and they just quit because of it. I mean, it was only, I think it was two or three people that we lost because of that.
Oh, some and people have left really or like, quit because, you know, once they fixed that, they weren't welcome here anymore because you see how bad they were.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like I said, we didn't even know. I'm not going to go through a fucking parse with a fine. Yeah. Some people I knew did it, and we told them to stop doing it. Because you can see, some people pull ridiculous numbers, so you knew they were doing it. We had them stop doing it.
Like you had said earlier, you know, what are you going to do? Ban half your raid core? Because that's, exactly. That's the way I feel, because, you know, I think people forget, or maybe they didn't, maybe they haven't run into a situation like this before, because there's always been bugs in Rift, and there's been some that have lasted longer than others, and there's been exploits that have lasted longer than others, and different people have exploited different things over the course of Rift's life, but nothing has been as big and game-breaking, really, and nothing has also been as prominent as this one was, I think, because this one was part of the raid scene and attached to a lot of the lead raid guilds. It was what made this stand out to the community so much.
Yeah.
But when you look at other titles have had similar things happen, some of them even bigger ones, like World of Warcraft happened. And like I was talking to you guys pre-show actually, and I think I said it was back in Wrath, and Joe, you might remember this, because we were with Jess. Jess was one of the people that stood with me, and I forget who it was. I think it was Josh and some of our other friends there, Joe, wanted to exploit, I think it was the bear boss in ZG or something, and Jess and I were like, no, we're not going to do it, and I think Greg and Katie didn't want to do it and stuff. So there was like half of our raid that didn't want to do the exploit, and like half that did, but the half that didn't want weren't officers. We weren't officers, so we basically just like stood down and pretty much split the guild in half for like 2 weeks and completely killed off raiding for like 2-3 weeks because everybody was pissed off about some people exploiting in the guild and some people not. So I mean, that's the option that you end up being presented with, is either you just suck it up and let people do what they're going to do because they're going to do it anyway, or you don't raid. And you wait for it to get fixed, which could very well lead to the guild breaking up. And you don't have the same kind of pool in Rift to pull from that you would in World of Warcraft either. So replacing those people can be even more difficult. People are even more valuable, I think, in Rift right now.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, like bulk of our leadership comes from a lot of other games. So, like, you know, older games like EQ where bugs were very prevalent and guilds using them. It's like, this isn't really anything new to us, at least as far as leadership goes of No Quarter. I think like the uproar is actually something that kind of surprised me with it. I mean, I was like,
"Oh, well, come on now, dude! How many people were doing it? If you didn't think that Voodoo was not doing that, you can watch the videos and their times when Natuzio first came out. Some of their early videos, we were sitting there watching it, trying to figure out how their DPS was so much better than ours. We're not talking like a couple of seconds here; we're talking like a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, before we found out the bug, and then it's like, oh, okay, so this is what they were doing. I mean, let's be honest: if people didn't know this was going on, or a good majority of people didn't know about it, because it wasn't that big of a secret. I don't know why people are so upset about it.
Well, you guys want to move on now, right? That's like the kind of the key thing now, is that there was all this drama and there was all this controversy about it, but now everybody's looking to move on, especially you guys, because unfortunately you ended up being kind of like the target of a lot of this and at the center of the whole storm here. So going with the theme of moving on, what do you guys have planned for Storm Legion? Because that's ahead, right? Everybody gets to start over in Storm Legion, so all this is going to be behind us. Nobody's going to remember Infernal Dawn because we're all going to be working on the next stuff that's coming up.
Oh, we're going to go hard. We're going to bring in 35 people, and we're going to go hard. We're going to make sure that in 2 or 3 days we're going to be raiding as fast as we possibly can.
You guys starting all your recruitment now, or are you trying to get people like geared up just for Infernal Dawn, or are you thinking like get them geared up in like ID relics and then
we have no idea.
Everybody in the guild fully ID relics, and I plan on having 2 full raids here shortly. Right now we have about 31 people in the guild ready to go. Pretty geared. Need ID relics, but we're going to start splitting the raid and make sure everybody's ready to go. And we're just going to prove people that this whole thing was more or less a joke, that this has nothing to do with where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is, like, we have no idea what going in Storm Legion, what the gear changes. We don't know if they're going to do, like, what WoW does, where it's just this huge jump in gear, or if it's going to be, like, our current gear is still relevant. Like, we have no idea. So I think I'd rather be prepared, take the time now, kind of get everybody on the right page, get everybody geared up as much as possible, and then go in, and if we waste our time, cool, we waste our time, but we had people, we could see what people could do, and we have a big enough group that, you know, if we have attrition like, you know, every game does, you know, people play the expansion for a month and then just don't really feel like playing it, or, you know, the attrition that we've had in normal raids, we still have enough people to fall back onto and not have to try and recruit again, so we can start off the expansion right and just push and, you know, take and be a top guild or be the top guild.
So everybody's like really on more of a trial basis, like more of a critical trial basis for you guys right now than especially the newer recruits, because it's not so much that, you know, we need you to be good for ID, because I mean you guys already know that you can clear ID, which congratulations. You guys did streamed a speed clear of Infernal Dawn recently. And what was your time on that? I forget. What did you do?
2:15.
2:15.
And we had Lathys bug at the end, and Malforged
really bad
frog once. So like we could really we could probably pull it down to like an hour and 50 minutes if we really wanted to. Tried.
Infernal Dawn is I'm sure it's fun, but it's like a joke for you guys at this point now. You know, you're plenty geared enough for it, so people aren't going to really stand out for you. Unless they're like, oh, hey, we just recruited this guy and he didn't stand in a single AoE the whole time. So that's what I mean by like, it's like a really critical trial period, because those are the things, you know, understanding mechanics and how quickly you learn, that's really going to stand out for Storm Legion.
Oh, yeah, for exactly. Sure. And we have people that are coming back too for Storm Legion. Some of our finer No Quarter members that'll be coming back to us. So these guys, I'm actually, right now we have a pretty solid squad. You know, like you said though, if you're standing shit or you're dying to like the Lathys arm, you might as well just leave the guild, because you're probably not going to be raiding in Storm Legion. You might be raiding, but you're not going to be part of the main raid core. So
which calling are you guys rooting for? Because we've seen one soul so far come out, the Harbinger for the Mage, but we don't know what the other ones are yet.
I mean, I don't really want to play a cleric, so I mean that's all I can really speak to. Like, I'm hoping for like some kind of support soul for clerics, just to kind of, because I don't really see anything else. Like, they're kind of hinting in the Mage reveal that they're trying to bring something that each class doesn't have, and like I don't really see anything that a cleric doesn't really have besides like a actual support build. I know there's a lot of, we were kind of discussing this before the podcast went live about warriors and stuff and kind of some of the tweaks, and like, you know, there's some hinting at like a ranged DPS soul for warriors and that kind of thing. So I mean, it really can all be up to speculation. But really, I'd like to see clerics get a support soul, just because cleric brings, I think, a lot more to the table in that kind of role than, like, a rogue or a mage would. Like, I'd rather have our mages doing something. And I'd like to have to see the flexibility of, like, well, maybe, like, an Archon build with Dom would be a better spec for this fight than, like, a cleric, the new cleric soul with, like, Ikar or something. Like, I'd like to see that kind of flexibility, or even, like, if you don't need a tank, like one of your tanks a tank, you can have them kind of like a warrior feel a support soul, or like a cleric feel a support soul, something like that. I'd like to see a lot of flexibility in our like the raid composition,
you know,
and what we can do.
Under Siege said in chat that they already said no support role for cleric, and I actually remember this. Is it Zinbik, right? Is the cleric
leader?
Yeah,
Zinbik. Yes.
Zinbik did say that the new soul is not support. I remember that. Oh, no, wait. Did he say it was not support, or did he say it was not tank? Actually, I think he said it was not tank.
I think he said it was not tank. I'm pretty sure that's... I think the support thing was a lot of people have been calling for Druid to become a support soul. And I think he's basically said that Druid was not going to be a support build, so...
That's right.
And Eldar is saying it's not a tank, so... right now in chat.
Now, so very well could be a support. I mean, that very well could be, really. But, like, the question is when you look at the support role, we haven't seen the support role be very prominent in Rift lately, for a long time, really. And Tryon really wants to bring that back, which I love, which is something that I think is going to really help set Rift apart in the coming expansion, especially with, you know, Guild Wars 2 is toting this death to the Holy Trinity deal. Well, while Rift is like, well, let's take the Holy Trinity plus one and screw the whole thing up, you know, which I thought was awesome, but you don't need support right now. And the supports that we have right now have a ton of buffs, so much so that a lot of them overlap, where you have, a cleric isn't putting their, you know, additional magic damage taken up because the Archon is doing theirs, and the Beastmaster isn't putting his auras up because the Bard has his, and et cetera, et cetera. So if they add another support soul, like for the cleric, what are they even going to give it that another support soul can't bring to a raid?
Well,
the flexibility that it might allow for your raids,
exactly,
rather than just having one class be able to do something, would kind of be nice, kind of be lame, I guess. I don't know. But the flexibility might be what they're going to be going for. But
yeah. I mean, it's really all speculation at the point what they're going to do. But, like, I mean, like I said, like, I'd rather have, like, for, like, Lathys, use an Archon that with that goes up Dom to get the Reflective Command. Like, you may not need Reflective Command for other fights, so you could easily, like, maybe have a Cleric run, like, a similar Archon-type build, like a Warrior or something, and where you don't need that kind of ability. And then you have your Mage's DPS if they're, like, a better DPS, or you don't need a tank, and you can have them be a support, have one of your Mages go DPS to pick up somewhere else there. And I think it would bring a lot more flexibility to the game and what you can do in a raid with your players. Because the soul system is supposed to be robust, it's supposed to give you flexibility, and that's something, like, really right now you don't really see, just with all the balancing issues they've had in this game. I mean, you see, like, a cleric. I mean, I've had the same specs since, really, Greenscale. Like, I really, the only things that's really changed is, like, my DPS specs, but, like, my healing souls, like, same thing. And I think, like, you're just having, you know, there's so much potential for these classes to bring a lot of robustness to the table in the raid environments. So giving, you know, different classes something similar, but they bring something a little different here or there. And, like, you could have, like, you know, an Archon Cleric with Inquisitor for the other 7%. And you have that one class bringing it, and you can have a Mage go full DPS. And, like,
yeah, I can see that. My concern with it is simply that, you know, what if Archon is still the best and Bard is still the best, and that's what you have and that's what you need? Then the Cleric's new soul is kind of like, well, okay, well, what do I do with it?
Yeah, it's a waste of space. But, I mean, like, look how many other souls that there are, like Dom. You know, I mean, this is the first time you've really seen Dominator really be needed in a raid environment. And, like, I think it really comes down to how Tryon builds fights. Like, this is really the first time you've seen a lot of cleric-friendly fights, like, for tanking, where, like, you need a cleric tank to actually do anything. I think that it's really just comes down to design and, you know, having an intention in mind when you do a fight. Like, hey, like, have a support build, or, you know, I'd rather have, like, one of our clerics run us the support build and have our mages DPS more instead of Archoning or
for sure,
you know, Bards.
Same thing with
you know,
yep, Bards, absolutely. Yeah.
What would you guys think about if they limited the support buffs to your party?
I'm not against it, but that's going to be rough. I mean, the DPS checks are going to have to change completely.
Yep.
Because you're going to have, unless you can kind of build hybrid specs where you could, like, tank and have some kind of support in a tank group.
True.
That's tough.
You're right. That would be tough. I don't know what they're going to do with the soul stuff, but I'll tell you, one thing that I've been really happy with is it sounds like, and we haven't heard a lot yet, but it sounds like for the current souls, they're really going more in their direction of, oh, I'm interrupted. LR said new Regulos is effing awesome. New Regulos. There's going to be a new model for Regulos. There you go.
Nice.
We'll take it down a week, LR.
And Daglar announced a few minutes ago that the normalization is gone, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yep, it's on the forums. Like,
they're not doing it at all.
No, not doing it at all. Apparently, there was enough information got from the PTS that they're not even doing the live test. They don't want to go in that direction, so it's gone.
Interesting. I wonder if they have a new direction in mind at all, if they're just going to leave it as is, then. That's really interesting.
I think the biggest changes we'll see is in Storm Legion, I think. I think right now they'll just kind of leave it as is, and then Storm Legion will see, like, the biggest changes come through for PvP and really just everything.
Yeah, they could just be waiting to see how the new souls, you know, factor into class balance, the new class balancing works out before maybe they look at PvP again.
I just think sometimes Tryon does, like, a lot of things to not upset, like, a small group of players because they don't want to risk losing anyone, period. And I think that's kind of what happened with the normalization, because from every thread that was ever posted, it was overwhelmingly positive, but they probably saw that even if it was a minority, they didn't want anyone to be upset by it.
I think they should just pull their dicks out and just go hard with it. Whatever they want to do, one way or the other, and just stick
with it. I wouldn't
word
it like that, but that's the... Yeah.
So I was saying before the breaking news that I really like that they seem to be taking all of the current souls and really pushing more into what those souls originally were, because I think that there was already a lot of, you know, a lot of differences between the souls. Each soul kind of does have its niche. The problem is that a lot of those souls are completely overshadowed by either a hybrid spec or another soul, so you don't get to see, you know, really, you don't ever see, like, a 51, you don't even see 51 Dominators in PvP anymore, never mind in the raid scene, you only see hybrids. But like Dominator and Pyro
really
are great.
Dom ever in raids till ID.
Yeah,
like
exactly. But so like I think Markle, you were right on the dot with that. Is it's all going to depend on how they design fights. And you know, if they design the fights more around what the different souls can do, then it would also make for a lot more interesting encounters, I think, because there's going to be a lot more to go on. You know what I mean? There's going to be a lot more to pay attention to. It's not just going to be the typical, okay, well, this is basically don't stand in this, or hey, when you see this on the ground, you stand on top of this. The simple positioning mechanics that we usually see, you know what I mean? Or, this, or yeah. The interrupt this or whatever. It's a lot of simple mechanics, because like I was telling Joe, they're going to come out with 3 brand new raids when Storm Legion comes out, and we don't know if they're going to open all at once, but they're supposed to all be there probably relatively close to launch, even if they don't open all right away. And they're going to need all new encounters for those. And if there's, say, 8 bosses in each of them, you're talking about 24 new boss encounters that have to be designed. What can you do that hasn't been done?
Well, yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I really liked the Lathis fight just because it was, you needed to really have the right raid comp to do it. I mean, yep. It wasn't you just go in there with whatever, you know, my turn, pull your dick out and go hard. No, you had to sit back and get it right because of the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
not
that
just
was
that,
an
like,
awesome mechanic.
I mean,
so, yeah, I like that. It's... They add things like that, you know, add another couple of spots so we can have some more souls here or some more, yeah. Some more specs put together because, you know, if I have to go in there with 4 specs and I have to be able to use all of them efficiently to get the fight done or get the content done, that's what I prefer.
Yep.
And they have the flexibility to make, you know, pretty interesting raid content.
I just hope that support doesn't come down to what, you know, is in now where, you know, some of it comes out and it's helpful for a while, but eventually you outgear it and it becomes obsolete. Because that's basically what happened.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I don't think there should be a support requirement in, like, 5 mans because it's just stupid.
I think they said
they need
to
really, or they really need to balance the fights. Like, them nerfing, like, all the tier 2s is really when I think support is died in that kind of, you know, because before you kind of needed support class in a lot of these dungeons, and when they nerfed things is when it started kind of, you started to see going away from that.
Yeah, it used to be completely impossible to do the old Deep Strike yeah. Mines expert
if you
didn't have a bard.
Yeah, Jesus.
Or Chloro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they said in the main show review video, though, that the 5-mans were going to have more importance laying on the support.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. Like, support should be mandatory. And I think that's would give credence to giving, like, each of these souls a support build of some kind. Because it allows in the queue for other things, just like a warrior can only tank, you know, tank or DPS. Giving them the support option gives them a little bit more flexibility. Same with clerics. I mean, it's there's a lot of things they can do with it.
There's some people who flat out just want to play support, and like they'll even be like my expert, and they're still playing support, and I'm like, dude, that's completely unnecessary.
Oh, yeah, that shit.
But they refuse
nuts.
To swap. They just like, but I like Bard. I'm like, okay.
Who likes Bard?
I got a guy in our guild.
The same
who loves
people
Bard.
Who voted for Bard the Fae. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
We had one of our rogues who refused to do like any tier 2 without a Bard. Like, he would just piss the absolute Sid. Piss the absolute fucking fit. If there wasn't a Bard group, or at least a Chloro, and I think they kind of bring that back. I'd also like to see them kind of tweak and nominalize some stuff, though, too, like Living Energy and Fervor and that kind of shit. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about that out there. I don't know. Like, I'd like to see the flexibility come back to this game, because it's really what drew me to this game to begin with, was the soul flexibility, and just being kind of pigeonholed into the same specs in every dungeon is kind of getting annoying.
Yeah, absolutely. The soul system and the flexibility like you're talking about is really what sets Rift apart from the other genres. And considering how competitive the end of the year is going to be for Rift and Storm Legion, now's really the time to kind of reestablish that difference.
Yeah, exactly. And now's really the opportunity they can take to do it because, I mean, they're introducing new souls. They can rebalance everything, you know, with all the new soul points we're getting. They can kind of fix stuff, go in and actually change how the game functions. You know, like clerics making weapon DPS matter for Shaman and Druid, you know, a little bit more than it does would be nice. Or see, like, different kind of scaling on stuff. See, like, I'm using cleric examples since I'm a cleric, but like things like main of aggression go away and actually make things scale off gear a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yep,
I would definitely agree with that. Do you guys have time for dimensions? Do we want to talk dimensions? We're kind of, I think we're already running over a little bit, but if you have time for dimensions, we can do that now.
Whatever you want to do, it's fine.
Yeah, sure.
What were you going to say, Joe?
I was going to say, me and Matt have been talking about the last, I don't know, handful of episodes that if it meant that they had to go towards less hybriding, like 51-point builds, in order to make more specs competitive, I would, without hesitation, do that trade-off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would shed a tear if I lost the hybridization, but it would be worth it if you could have your choice of soul, definitely. But let's talk about Dimensions, because Dimensions was debuted over at Gamescom 2012, and there was a video up on YouTube. Unfortunately, I don't have the video prepared right now to put up on the live stream stage. But basically, it looks like Dimensions are going to be kind of like the same concept that they have going on with like a sliver, where you can actually own literally like a part of the world, which is I think this is really cool, the way that they're doing this. But there is one thing that I don't like, which I'll get to a second, because I think it's what a lot of people who are looking for housing is going to latch onto right away. What's cool about this is that you don't just get a house. You get an entire area. So you could have, like, Port Zion or something, or Greenscale's Blight or whatever, this cave, as your dimension. And you can set up, you know, trees outside. You can change the sky. You can, have you guys seen this video? You can put water somewhere.
I haven't seen it, but they were, I think Merkel was telling me about it, actually.
Yeah, I watched the little bit on it. It seems interesting. I mean, pretty much now, like, for me, I log in, do the Sanctum 500 all day, and just bullshit and mumble. So, like, it kind of gives something that you kind of have your own little space that you can kind of do stuff with, or even, like, a guild space to kind of tweak around and have, like, the guild hang out, and even put, your own target dummies in or something like that. Like, that's kind of, stuff like that's kind of nice, I think. It kind of gives your guild a little bit, and even the players, kind of their own customization and kind of their own flair to the game. And, like, really, they, like, also use it, like, if they put in the right kind of stuff, like, one of our members was talking about, like, having things, like, target dummies you can put armor sets on and kind of have, like,
rainbows,
a trophy,
like,
trophy room type thing.
Yeah, they were talking about, like, that they really wanted to have, like, trophies and stuff. They're just kind of, the Dimensions is apparently, it's still in a very early stage right now, so they're still messing with a lot of stuff and trying to figure out how they're going to do trophies and that sort of thing.
It may not even be something that drops with the actual Storm Legion launch. It might be something that we see in, like, one or two patches afterwards, them trying to get the kinks out. But I think it's something that could really be, just as an RP standpoint, even just kind of just a fun factor, something really interesting for this game.
So, you know what I thought was really interesting that they said during the Gamescom 2012 video was that you can put stuff in mid-air, which I think is going to be cool, because the first thing I'm going to do with my dimension is I'm going to seriously create, like, a platforming maze or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I'm going to recreate Realm of the Fae.
Yeah, right, I bet. Joe, if you ever put a hedge maze in your dimension, dude, I would seriously just punch you in the face, because all the crap that you gave us about the hedge maze for the event.
The only way I'd put it there is if they let you, like, light it on fire, you know, there afterwards. Because that would be, like, so fun to always watch it burn.
That would be Joe's trophy. This is the hedge from Realm of the Fae. This is the hedge from Realm of the Fae on fire.
That's amazing. I hope they do that.
It's like, this is your brain on drugs. So, something else I think is really cool about Dimensions is also probably the thing that I think a lot of people looking for housing are going to maybe pull back from this from, is the fact that Dimensions are instanced, essentially. You know what I mean? You can't see them when you're just riding by them. So if you have the head of Lathis or the head of Crucia on a stick out front your door, nobody's going to see it unless they actually zone in. But the bonus to this is also that because it's instanced, it means that the world isn't going to be completely flooded. And if you're like me and you have a mediocre machine and having like 5 FPS in Sanctum just isn't fun, you can just go hang out in your dimension and you've got like flawless performance out there.
I really
hope that you can, I don't know, maybe not like train, but maybe there's like craft, you can craft there and shit, like there's a forge. Because it'd be kind of stupid if all you could really do is, like, design and stand there.
Well, that's one of the problems why I think people might pull away from this, too, is, I mean, if you put stuff like that in your dimension, why are you going to go to the city? We're going to get an awesome new shared faction city in Storm Legion that sounds like it's going to be huge. Some of the concept art, if that is the city that we've seen in the concept art, looks absolutely amazing, but nobody's going to hang out there because you're going to be in your dimension.
Yeah, that is a balancing act they're gonna have to do. But at the same time, like, if you can't do anything, like, once you have your dimension created, you're gonna port there and what, just stand there? Like,
well, if they allow people to, like, come in, like, you can bring a party in or something like that to do, like, come see your instance place, your dimension, I think that'd be kind of what would make it more worthwhile. That. But, like, if it's just for you, I think that'd just kind of be kind of stupid, because, I mean, it's just a place for you kind of sit there and do nothing. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think it's something that's really there for the role players, and it's something that can just be fun because it gives you something else to attain. And I think Rift has always been good at doing that. You know, we all have mixed feelings about different features in the game, but I think everybody has that one feature of Rift that they really latch onto as being something that they really enjoy doing outside of the typical instances in raiding and stuff, like whether it be instant adventure or hunting rifts or doing the zone invasions, or now it's going to be like dimensions, world PvP or PvP rifts or whatever. There's all kinds of stuff to do in this game, and this just adds one more thing to it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great for, like you said, you know, everybody's got their own thing going on. I think people enjoy it. I'm not sure that it's so much for me. I think it's a cool idea. I'll check it out. Maybe I will like it, but
I think the only thing they really didn't make clear, which I actually want to know, is they definitely told you that, like, big landmarks, like, you know, like green scales, blight, and shit like that, you can make into a dimension. But I want to know if, like, there's some random spot in the middle of the world that can literally turn that into a dimension. Because it only seemed, from the video, that they were doing, like, landmarks, you know, like, not some random hole in the wall that no one gives a shit about, but that I actually like, you know. Because they said all those landmarks, like GSB, and I think even they said ROS, like, it's going to be something where, like, once you clear those areas, then, you know, you can, they're then unlocked for you to use as your dimension. But if that's how it goes, then that would kind of lead me to believe that they're not going to be allowed to just go to some random spot in the world and be like, I pick this area as my dimension, you know, and turn it into an instance.
I don't even know how you would actually, like, program that, because if you can't just, you know, do like the constructed turrets for Conquest, for example, is a good example of how you might be able to go and set up like a house somewhere in the open world. But it's not open world, it's instance, which means that the developers have to spend development time developing each and every single instance as like a base appearance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you add on to that. So imagine if they had to redesign every inch of Talara, that would be absolutely insane.
Yeah, that would take forever for them to do that. I'm sure it'll be like an option of like 10 or 15 different selections. Yeah, it's going to have to be something small. So I think there's going to be some kind of like normalization to it, but I think people will be able to kind of customize it from there.
Yeah, and you get to unlock these too, which I think is really cool, that by actually like conquering the area, they're saying. So, you know, you guys could set up base, like a guild base in Infernal Dawn, which is going to be really nice. So I like that they're doing this instance thing. And Tryon's always been good at getting the new content out, you know what I mean? No matter how you feel about their bug fixing or whatever, their content comes quick. And it usually, sorry, Conquest, comes in quality. So this is something that I think we're going to see new dimensions opening up constantly throughout, you know, throughout Storm Legion. So yeah, we might only have a dozen or 15 or whatever to choose from at the beginning, but it's one more thing that they can just keep adding onto and adding onto. So just hopefully they don't leave this as kind of a half idea and like, here's your 12, and then they forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that'd get stale pretty quickly, honestly. I really don't want like that really sucks though, because I mean, I want houses out in the world. But the interesting is definitely like a compromise I'm fine with, but if it's only like big landmarks, I don't know. Like there's probably certain areas in the world that I think are like cool areas that could be, you know, potential dimensions that might take them like forever to eventually add in, which would suck.
I'm definitely going to hide out in my dimension. I'm mostly looking forward to it, so this way every time I load out of a 5-man, it doesn't take me 20 minutes because I'm loading it to somewhere that there are no players. So I can't wait for dimensions. But no, dimensions are definitely really cool, but we do have to wrap things up. I think you guys, No Quarters, got a raid to get to. I don't know if it's too late for you guys to get into that or not.
Oh, we're already in it.
Yeah, we're already in there.
There you go. Okay, so these guys are not even doing the show anymore. They're off raiding already.
Dude, they multi-shot.
It doesn't make a difference to us. I put a show on every time I'm raiding anyway. What's the difference?
Yeah, that's right. Well, how many macros do you have? Like one for everything?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm running around with a Fae while we're doing the show.
So I'm the only one that has to stare at 20 different windows open on my desktop. You guys rock. Thanks. Make me feel like I'm really working for this. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. It's been great having you on. If there's anything you guys want to leave our audience with before we go?
Boy, geez, you know, the haters can keep on hating, but we know who's number one. Keep it proud.
grab your dick and go hard, right?
Yeah, no, pull it out, grab it, find a hole and go hard.
We're always looking for new guests to come on the show and be a part of Community Voice, so if there's any area of Rift that you have extensive experience in or are especially passionate about, contact us with a little background about yourself and your desired topics. You can contact us via email at riftovercast@gmail.com. Also, be sure to follow Overcast on Twitter at @RiftOvercast, on Facebook at facebook.com/RiftOvercast, and on Google Plus at gotoplus.me/RiftOvercast. And on YouTube at youtube.com/RiftOvercast. RiftOvercast is recorded every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/RiftOvercast. You can also tune into our live recording straight from our website at riftovercast.blogspot.com. Episodes air every Friday each week and can be found on our website, via the iTunes Store, on Stitcher Radio at Stitcher.com, or via the Stitcher app, available from the Google Play Store on your mobile device. And as always, we want to hear your opinions on both the game and the show, so leave us a comment below, and we will see you next week.